We're going through John 14, 15, 16, and 17, leading up to our Easter celebration. And so as you've been opening up the scripture, I just thoroughly enjoy the dialogue and the interaction and the conversation. So this morning, we've asked Christy to read the word. If you would stand in honor of us reading John chapter 14. As Christy reads the word of God, we'll have it on the screen and you can follow along.
Is it 14 or 15?
Did I say 14? I meant 15. Okay. Sorry. Yes, ma'am. Okay. John 15. You're correct.
I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit, so they will produce even more. You have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father. I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. This is my commandment. Love each other in the same way I have loved you. There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you slaves because a master doesn't confide in his slaves. Now you are my friends since I have told you everything the Father told me. You didn't choose me, I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit so that the Father will give you whatever you ask for using my name. This is my command, love each other. If the world hates you, remember that it hated me first. The world would love you as one of its own if you belonged to it, but you are no longer part of the world. I chose you to come out of the world, so it hates you. Do you remember what I told you? A slave is not greater than the master. Since they persecuted me, naturally they will persecute you. And if they had listened to me, they would listen to you. They will do all this to you because of me, for they have rejected the one who sent me. They would not be guilty if I had not come and spoken to them. But now they have no excuse for their sin. Anyone who hates me also hates my Father. If I hadn't done such miraculous signs among them that no one else could do, they would not be guilty. But as it is, they have seen everything I did, yet they still hate me and my Father. This fulfills what is written in their scriptures. They hated me without cause. But I will send you the Advocate, the Spirit of Truth. He will come to you from the Father and will testify all about me. And you must also testify about me because you have been with me from the beginning of my ministry.
Thank you so much. That was amazing. You may be seated. I absolutely love the word of God being read. And for us to just hear John 14, John 15 being proclaimed in our midst. As we jump into John chapter 15, I just want to remind you that we're not going to go verse by verse. There's not enough time. There's so much in this chapter. What I'm going to do is I'm going to give you some tidbits and overviews, and we're going to highlight some things. And I just want to encourage you that what I absolutely love is this opportunity for us to talk and share and interact based on John chapter 15. We're going to be reading it this week. We're going to have it posted. We're going to be throwing some thoughts out there. But I want to ask any of you guys that were helping me last week, you were up here and you were presenting yourself as one of the disciples. Come on back up here. I didn't ask you because I didn't want you to not show this morning. So if you are here and you, yeah, I love that. Sean's looking around like, oh man. Okay, whoever was up here last week, there you go, Charles. Way to move, brother. Come on. All right, who else? Are we down? Are we down that many disciples? Okay, Ethan, come on. That's good. Thanks for volunteering. I appreciate that. All right, TJ, thanks for volunteering. I appreciate it. I'm glad you're here today. That's good. Reagan, come on. Come on. You a follower now, brother. Proud of you. All right, so you guys just gather around. So this is what we're trying to do last week as we jumped into John chapter 14. We're trying to help you understand and give you a physical, visual illustration of the difference between being called a Christian, somebody that goes to church. And I want you to just think about it. John chapter 14 and verse 6, when Jesus said, I am the way. If you're not familiar that the early Christians, Christ followers, and that Christian term was like they were trying to be like little Christ, which denotes a lifestyle, an attitude, the way that they were trying to live. So what it really is all about is us learning to be in the way. And I appreciate you guys being up here. And what we talked about last week, come on over here, man. Come on. Give me a hug, man. That's good. That's what I'm talking about. You know, this is my future son-in-law. Anyway, so one of the things that it's important for us to understand is that being in the way, being a disciple, being a follower, or if we could use the word, we used it last week, being an apprentice, being in an apprenticeship. And so what we're talking about is being in the way. So last week, we had a table sitting here. We were sharing a meal together. And let me just remind you what it says in John chapter 14 and verse 31. It says, arise, get up. I'm saying that. Let us go from here. Or, hey, we're going somewhere else. So as we were talking about it, I want you to just understand. Let me grab this real quick. Okay, cool. So you guys, come on. We're going. Let's go. We're getting up. We just got up from the meal. We're just going. Come on, man. Get over here because we're walking along the way. You know, we're walking through. If you've looked at the map, come on over here, Reagan. Be close to me, man. So Reagan's like, I'm still scared, man. I'm not sure what you're going to ask me. We're just hanging out, brother. All right? Proud of you. That's good. Love this guy's heart, by the way. So, Charles. Love these young teenage guys. That's awesome. So anyway, here's the thing. As we're walking in the way, understand, if you look at the map, let's just say within two or three blocks of where they think the Last Supper was held in the upper room. So wherever we're sharing the last meal, we think we're doing Passover, but it turns into something even more than that. Remember, we were washing feet. We were exchanging, you know, who's going to be Peter? Okay, Sean. Okay. You're not... You got to be loudmouth now, okay? Yeah. Okay. That was it right there, okay? But think about, what did Peter say? You're not washing my feet. And then, so we're just talking about, and I want to give you this picture that being a follower, being a disciple, being in the way was a lifestyle. It was about learning things. It was about processing things. And they were walking along. So I want you, oh, man. Okay, that was out of order for the lesson. We just got pruning, okay? All right, Jesus, I know, I'm gonna trust you. All right, so here's the thing. Whether they were, there we go. All right, anybody got any tape? There you go, Martin, thank you. There you go, Martin. Hold on to that, brother, okay? You're the vineyard, you're the vine dresser now, okay? Hey, you just got to roll with the flow. That's what happens. So as we're walking along, here's the thing. I'm not saying if you look at the different routes that they could have taken from where they took the last meal to where they were in Gethsemane, there's a bunch of different routes. I'm not saying that they walked by a vineyard, but a vineyard and grapes and vines was a very natural thing as we're walking along. So we start talking and Jesus says to us, he's a true vine. And then he says, we're the branches. And so what I love is you just think about processing that. And this is where I want to use these guys to help you understand the vitality of us learning to be a church family. His lens, that he's going to see the vine and the branch through, versus his lens, Ethan's lens, and Reagan's lens, they're all going to be different. We're not all going to take this analogy and process it the exact same way. And what we have to press into is being able to be the body of Christ and share what we feel like God is revealing to us, because it might be that when he says, hey man, I didn't quite see it that way, this is how it applied to me. And my age and my experience, this happens to me all the time. I'm like, wow, that was good. I never would have seen it that way because my life experience, my personality, my lens is different. And what we have to get away from, and I'm not talking about getting away from the truth of the Word of God, but how the Holy Spirit applies it to each and every one of us. If he doesn't share within a group what the Holy Spirit is speaking to him about, do you understand that it might be robbing me of the privilege of expanding my perspective on Scripture? And I believe that this is one of the things that we miss in sometimes where we do church, where we just come to a service instead of learning how to live life together in the way, is that we miss being able to interact with each other and fellowship with one another and hear diverse perspectives on how things apply. So think about this. We're walking in the way. Thank you guys for being up here, giving that illustration. Appreciate that. Good job, man. All right. Good job, Reagan. Thank you, Ethan. Oh, you got that? Okay. Oh, yeah. So Yeshua was accustomed to grapes on the vine. And what I want you to think about is I want to just give you an analogy that's based on familiar reality to those guys. As they're walking around, as they're together, let me help you understand this. Here, I'll just hold it. It's good. Oh, yeah. The Holy Spirit's going to use this in somebody's life. We got a Band-Aid on that boo-boo. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about right there. Hey, why do we come here? Because we need Band-Aids on our boo-boo spiritually. Amen. Oh, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Okay, this is good. We're still going to hang with this. All right. Jesus, he said he is the true vine. Father God is the vine dresser. Raise the bar on your life just now, man, okay? Father God is the vine dresser. He's the one that has a bigger picture. He's the one that sees things way bigger, broader, and more amazing than we do. Followers or disciples of Jesus, we're the branches of the vine. We are the branches of the vine. The vine dresser prunes, removes branches, and piles them up for burning. But think about this. The goal is the best grape production to display the quality of the vine. We have tons of vineyards around here, and there's all different kinds of competition. But what is it about the grape, the quality of the grape? It denotes the quality of the vine. One last thing. The vitality or life source of the branch to bear fruit can only come from the vine. Think about that. The vitality or life source of the branch to bear fruit can only come from the vine. If you count the number of times, I'm going to ask you to do this on your own. Count the number of times the word remain or abide is stated in the first part of the chapter. And in the Greek, this passage, what it means is to be kept or to remain, hence the term abide or remain. And if you look at most of the versions of the Bible, remain and abide are used in the majority of translations. Now, I just want to say this as a special note. I'm going to address this, but I think that there's a lot of misunderstanding within the church in America, and some of these verses are taken out of context. If you look at verse 7 of chapter 15, I want to ask you, what is the actual context when the statement is made, you will ask what you desire? I just want you to meditate on that this week. What does that actually mean? The context of, is that just an open door or whatever you're thinking, feeling? No, look at the context and meditate on, you will ask what you desire. Now, I want you to think about this. Abiding, remaining is the vitality or the life source of the relationship. The life source of the relationship, consider the aspect, and then so I'm going to throw this out, because this is going to be a point of difficulty for a lot of us here this morning. This vitality, this life source, I want you to consider the aspect of constant connection. Constant connection. Let's just be honest in our hearts. When I say that, do you even believe it's possible? Because I know that most of you sitting there, Constant connection. Let me ask it like this. On a very personal level, do we really believe that we can live our lives in Jesus with a constant connectivity? That's a heavy evaluation question if we'll let the weightiness of what I'm asking sink in. Because this is one of those deeper considerations that really flushes out within us the reality of our perspective. And what it comes down to, God's view of us, God's view of our situation, God's view of what he's trying to accomplish in the vineyard versus, amen, our view of God and how we see ourselves. And what I wind up doing, some of you in here, you know, because I've said this to you recently, what I wind up saying more and more all the time, you know what I say to people, what I say to some of you, and it'll resonate because I've just said it to you recently, stop being so hard on yourself. Stop approaching God like a stinking perfectionist, like you've got to have everything together. Give yourself some grace and stop beating yourself up. You want to know why I say that? Not because I'm like, oh, that's okay. That's good. You just keep sinning because God loves you. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that our view of ourselves and the standard that we hold ourselves to most of the time is different than God's view of us and what he's trying to accomplish in our lives. And some of you, God has some amazing things that he's wanting to reveal to you, but you got to learn to see yourself from his view and stop looking at yourself through the lies and the distorted misrepresentation that you've embraced most of your life. Do we really believe that what Jesus is saying about the vine and the branch and constant connectivity is a possibility? Abiding or constant connection is a game-changing perspective and life experience. What if, and this is what I've been working through, and I'm like, whoa, I'm learning new things all the time. I tell you guys that. Whether you think I'm just talking just to talk, I'm being really honest with you. This week, my eyes have been opened to a whole new level of connectivity with Jesus. So I'm asking you what I've been asking myself this week. And I've had conversation with my wife. I've had conversation with other people. What if when I wake up, because when I wake up, I usually lay in bed and I begin to commune with God. I begin to talk to him. Because sometimes I'm just getting pummeled as soon as my eyes come up. Some of you understand that. The things that you got to do, the pressures, the stresses, the anxiety. And so I'm laying in bed going, man, my heart is racing. I'm not even out of bed yet. So I start praying, Father, thank you for that I'm alive. Thank you for my wife. Thank you for my family. And I just want to commune with it. And I'm not saying that any of that is bad. But what if when we woke up, what if when I wake up, I simply acknowledge my connection with Jesus? What if first thing when I woke up, I just simply acknowledged that he is the vine and I am connected with him and I am simply acknowledging that I'm the branch and I have a connection with him? Maybe a simple acknowledgement would go something like this. And this is what I've been working on saying in the morning. And honestly, what I'm going to do, I think I'm going to print this out and lay it next to the bed. So when I wake up and I'm kind of brain dead, I can just roll over, grab it, and read it to myself. Read it to God. Something like this. Jesus, you are my vitality and you are my life source. I cannot do anything of eternal value without your help today. I am in need of your help and assistance. I am inadequate to produce fruit on my own. I am desperately dependent on you today. Help me to constantly stay connected with you by the Spirit of truth within me. How do you think that'll change the trajectory of my mind, my attitude, and my actions as I move forward during the day? A simple proclamation or a simple acknowledgement that he is the vine and I'm the branch. So what I want to give you this morning is three considerations, and I want you to look at the scripture. Three considerations this morning. Love is a fruit or evidence of abiding and connectivity. Love is a fruit of remaining and connectivity. And we can love on a human level, but we cannot love as God loves without his help. I get a kick out of people saying, oh, Pastor, you're just such a good man. And I'm like, no, I'm so thankful y'all can't peel back my mind and look inside. What I am is a man that is learning to lead into a great God whose goodness flows over me, because I don't have the natural ability to have an expanding reservoir to love all of you the way that I'm called to love. To love each person based on what your needs are. I need help and I need understanding, because the kind of love that we are called to dispense is not love that naturally resonates within us on a human level. It's a much bigger love. So the love here that we're talking about is agape, or some people say agape. Agape or agape. In the Greek, it's used in this section of these verses, but not every one of the words in here is agape. It's the most powerful, noblest type of love, which is considered sacrificial love or godlike love. Agape is more than a feeling. Please hear what I'm saying. Agape is more than a feeling, as it is an act of the will, a decision that is made on behalf of someone else or others. I say, well, Tim, I'm not feeling it. Doesn't matter. Make a decision to see someone else and to exalt them and put them above yourself. See? Why would we do that? Why would we do that? Because we have a life source. We have a connection. And because he loved us, and the very essence of who he is love, then he's calling us and propelling us into a world where he's asking us to be his apprentice, to be a part of his apprenticeship, his following, his discipling program. And he says, guys, I want you to be my representatives. And the way that people are going to know that this vine is real is if you have love one for another. Love. Second thing I want to throw out, and I want you to look at this as for consideration. You can argue with me if you want. But number two, obedience is a fruit or the evidence of abiding or remaining and connectivity. Now, our current culture, this is not going to be a natural response. But I want you to understand and see that Jesus makes it very plain, and John says in 1 John, and it's all throughout the scripture, that if there is this love and this growing love, the natural response to that, the natural response is that this vine, when you're flowing and you have that life source, that it's not going to be a list of do's and don'ts. It's going to not be all these duties. Well, I've got to, oh man, Pastor Tim made me, Pastor Chris, Tom, I'm tied up. No, it's not about duty. It's because there's this life flow and this essence. It's a natural response to say, because of the very life source that you are giving me, I want to be healthy and I want to be connected and I want all of you surging through me. The best way to do that is to align my sinew, my part with you. That's called obedience. Number three, I want you to look at this and consider this. I believe that joy is a fruit or the evidence of abiding, remaining, and connectivity. I'm not talking about happy. I'm not talking about doing your happy dance because everything's going good. I just scored a lot of points. Everything lined up and I got my way. We're not talking about happiness. We're talking about joy. And joy is more about the connectivity and the life source than it is the circumstances and the surroundings. And I believe that if you will look at the scripture, you're going to see that there's this joy. Like when all the storm clouds come and all the things begin to look like there's going to be this destruction of the vine and all of the branches are going to be broken off and they're going to be stripped away and things are just going to be bad all around. Can I just tell you something worldwide? Worldwide, when it looks like difficulty is going to come and destroy, this vine and these branches flourish. In parts of the world where things are absolutely uncomfortable and miserable for the gospel, the Church of Jesus Christ, people are coming to our Savior by the thousands, and it looks like things should, because it's not comfortable. But what is happening is it doesn't look like things should. Things are exploding and the branches are growing and more branches are being added. Makes me think about, what does the scripture say? None of us did anything to be part of this vine, that we have been actually taken and grafted in by the vine dresser because of what Jesus has done. And now the Holy Spirit, if we believe, the Holy Spirit is with us and is coursing through us, the Spirit of truth. Now, let me give you some things real quick. We're going to roll through. I want to just give you something hypothetical real quick. You're not going to see this in Scripture, but this is for some of you. I want to give you some freedom to think and meditate on what God is showing to you. And I want you to just think about this. This is what hit me personally. And it's, I'll be honest with you, it's one of those like, I believe that what we have in our country right now is a lot of branches that look very familiar to the branches on the vine. And these branches look very similar, and these branches have a lot of information about the vine dresser, and these branches have a lot of information about the vine, and these branches have a lot of information about the branches, and they can talk a big game. And these branches that are all around us remind me of the scary portion of Matthew chapter 7, where they stand before God, and they say, look at the kind of branch we are. We've done all these amazing things in your name. And they list all these amazing things. And he goes, depart from me, you that have never been connected to my son and the vine, and they're going to be cut, they're going to be thrown out, and they're going to be burned. I don't know about you, but just this hypothetical is like, fear and trembling in evaluation. How do we know the difference? The branch has a connection. Now, I just want to mention a teacher, a sage, or a rabbi would want to prepare his disciples or followers for the real life application of his teaching. The guys that were up here, if I really cared about them, I'm going to really try to prepare them for the reality that they're going to face and how the teachings are going to be applied in their lives. And he would want the apprentice to learn all the aspects of what might happen moving forward in life. Yes? Yeshua wanted his disciples to understand the reality of what it means to follow in the way. What does it mean to follow in the way? And this is where I feel like that the church in America doesn't talk and prepare disciples, apprentices, or followers the way that Jesus was. Because you know what he said when he got through all this? And he uses the word, that when you read the word love here in the latter part of the chapter where it's talking about the world would love you, this is phileo. Phileo. This is not agape. This is a different word, and this is what it means in the Greek. Love that involves feelings. I feel feelings of warmth and affection toward another person. That's the Greek word for what it's saying. The world would love its own. That's what it means. And then here's these two terms that Jesus gives to his disciples. Talking about love, talking about all these beautiful things, obedience, joy. And this is what he says. You will be hated because of me. You're going to be hated. Hatred. And not only that, let me follow it up with preparation. Not only are you going to be hated, you're actually going to be persecuted. You're going to experience persecution. And see, the thing is, he's not trying to do anything but lovingly prepare his apprentice for what they're actually going to face in this world as they pursue love. So, okay, Yeshua, you're telling me that I'm supposed to love when I'm hated and persecuted. Yep. And I'm supposed to respond to you in obedience. And he's like, yes, because I am the vine and you're connected with me. I want to give you life source and life flow that you don't understand. So what you're telling me is that in the middle of all this hatred and persecution, I'm going to have a joy. I'm going to have something taking place inside of me that's going to strengthen me and fortify me. And Yeshua says, absolutely, that's what I'm trying to hand off to you. And I believe that what we've done is a disservice to a lot of Americans by what the church has done, because what we've turned our services into is like, we've got to do a happy dance. We've got to come to, oh my goodness, I just love going to church because it's so much fun. And then we get into a world and we go to work and you go, how many of you this week you left work and you felt pummeled, beat up, and beat down? That's the world we live in. It's life. How are we supposed to respond? Knife their tires? No. We're following in the way. We're supposed to respond in a way that says, Jesus is my vine. And people say, why didn't you respond the way you wanted? That's not who I am anymore. I used to be that person, but I'm not that person anymore. And so what we're trying to do is we are trying to help us prepare for the real, the world that we live in. Doesn't mean we can't have fun together, but when we get together, there should be this joy as we're singing and praising and we're lifting up our great God. There should just be this joy that inhabits our praise, and it should long our hearts to be obedient and for us to love in a deeper way, to love him and to love others, just like what we talk about from Matthew 22. John 15, 26 and 27, we'll talk about it in the New King James. But I will send you the advocate. Let me give you some other words for advocate. I will send you the comforter. I will send you the encourager. I will send you the counselor, the spirit of truth. He will come to you from the Father and he will testify about me. Just to remind you, the spirit of God, the spirit of truth is trying to get us pointed toward Jesus. And Jesus is saying, I want you to know the Father because I was obedient and connected with the Father, and that's the life source. So there's this family dynamic of interaction and oneness where the Spirit is lifting up the very teachings and the writings that lift up Jesus. And Jesus is saying, what did he say all through this book? And we've already read about it. I want you to know the Father, because when you know the Father, you know me. It's all of us. It's beautiful. We're going to talk about that more in chapter 16. I got a couple questions for you. Are you living in the vitality or the life source that can only come from our Lord Jesus? I'm asking some of you this morning, I'm begging of you that you would follow with me the path of Jesus and lay aside all the religiosity, all the rules, all the regulations that you can be so focused on because it makes you feel so good about what you're accomplishing for God. Make no mistake, we all have to do our part. I have to be disciplined. I have to have self-control. I have to prioritize. But at the end of the day, what it really is about is me celebrating my connection and my life source in Jesus. What we pray in this church family is that we would be, as a group, we would be able to produce fruit that would remain for eternity. That there would be eternal fruit. Think about when we get to heaven. There's going to be this love fest. And there's going to be this connectivity and this natural obedience and this response. And then there's going to be this great joy. It's not going to be some boring, we're not going to be floating around like, oh yeah, eternity. Goodness gracious, that sounds boring as all get out. No, there's going to be this family connectedness. And let me just tell you, if you've been a part of that, it's like, hey, you want to go pick weeds? Nah, I wasn't on my top 10 list today. But you go as a family, start picking weeds, and you're having fun, you're interacting, there's this joy because there's this connectivity, there's family vibrance. Hey, you want to go split wood? Nah, I don't really like splitting wood, but you get out there, you're sarcastic, you're having fun, you're working together, you're doing stuff, and there's this beautiful synergy, there's this beautiful family connection that you experience because you're being connected as a family, as a group, as a unit. That's what I'm trying to help us evaluate. Jesus said, I am the vine. My second question, are you acknowledging to yourself the reality of constant connection to Jesus through the presence of the Holy Spirit? Say, well, Pastor Tim, I don't believe that you can really live the way that you're talking about. And I would say to you, that's another lie. That's another mistruth. That's another false presentation of what your capability is in the vine. So let's start by just simply acknowledging he is the true vine and we're branches. I can't bear fruit on my own. The very essence of fruit bearing comes from the vine itself. And what I long for is people all over this region, not to talk about this church family, but to talk about the very reason this church family is here. And for them to see the fruit in our lives and know that the true vine that we're connected with is the best vine. The most excellent vine, the most praiseworthy vine. We're looking toward Easter. I just want to remind you, we're not trying to get anybody to sign any dogma about this church family. Jesus came and lived and died and rose again, and he's in heaven on our behalf so that individually, each one of us can feel and experience redemption and forgiveness and transformation. And we can say to the least of these and other people, no, if he's done it for me, he can do it for you. There's hope. There's hope. It's not about us trying to clean ourselves up and then jam ourselves onto the vine. It's an invitation. Whosoever will may come, and I will graft you in. That's the kind of people we're trying to be. Let's think about that as we stand and sing together.